The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Good morning, David Doval. How are you?
Everything's good.
Good, good, good. Thank you for covering for me last week.
Yes, sir.
Had to have the pedicure and the manicure and all that stuff done, so I just went ahead with it. And if you believe that. Welcome, everybody. It's 2 hours of home improvement on Saturday morning. Same as it's been for the last 27, coming on 28 years. And maybe, we hope, better than ever. Lots going on this week. Lots going on in the home improvement world. I thought, David, this would be a good week to talk about whether or not this is a good time to renovate your home and do some kind of, I say major renovation, like not, painting and some of the kind of spruce them up aesthetic things that we talk about where you can make things look radically different without spending radical amounts of money. I'm talking, I say radical, but serious home improvement, because some of the questions will actually be, you know, hey, do you have a place to live if the renovation is of significant scope? What do you think of that? You probably have a pretty good idea of, as we go through these questions, what to think about, yeah?
I do. I'm getting a little feedback.
Are you? Okay. Well, I'll keep moving. But we'll talk about that because there's just a lot of chatter in the marketplace. In the news, interest rates going up and, you know, the cost of everything is ridiculous. I started sounding like my father this week when, you know, Barb told me how much she paid for a pound of bacon. And so people get real kind of, I don't know, skittish. And we'll talk about whether it's appropriate to be skittish when we're talking home improvement kinds of things or not. And then we'll also try to help you make some decisions like, okay, what kinds of conversations should you have? What questions should you ask? What things should you cover or make sure you discuss and have a solid solution or a solid concepts in place before you proceed with a major home improvement? Those are, that's helpful. I would argue it's more than helpful. It's really table stakes. And then we'll talk, David, a little bit, and this is where your good guidance is always helpful. It's like, okay, is this if you have a project of significant scope, multiple trades involved, do you want to be the general contractor on the job? In some cases, depending on the amount, you cannot be the GC because you just don't have a license if you're just average consumer. But David, just do you know what like your license, I think in a couple states, what's do you know the size of the job before you have to carry a license?
Well, North Carolina is 30,000.
Okay, so that's not hard to hit
in a
renovation of any kind of size, right?
Right. And I think South Carolina is 5,000.
Woo. Okay. So the folks in South Carolina don't trust their people so much.
But if you own your own home, you can be the general contractor.
Oh, that's right. Cause it's as long as you're not doing it for a profit or for another property. I forgot about that. So
you can build a house, but you have to live in it 2 years.
Okay.
So you have to be the guinea pig.
Yeah, eat your own dog food, as the saying goes.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's fair. All right. So that's helpful to know. So really, we don't have to worry about understanding the dollar limits. The fact of the matter is, you can do it yourself, as a general contractor if you want to. But we're going to share some questions, and give you some things to think about that, in my opinion, probably give you pause And I don't mean you become like a dog, because that seems to be popular these days too. But we don't give you pause. We give you P-A-U-S-E to think about, hey, do I really want to take this on? You know, as I just sit here thinking off the top of my head, the ability to work from home anymore may take some of the burden off. But as an employer, I don't know, I want to tell people, oh, go ahead and do this more intense job because you'll be at home, because that means you're taking away time from what is allegedly supposed to be your, you know, your full-time job and what generates your income. So anyway, so we'll talk about those things. We have some tips of the week that we'll share. And we always want to know what's going on in your world. So we love it when our entire show is driven by questions from you when you call 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. You can also go to our website, askjohnanddave.com. You got to spell out the and. Askjohnanddave.com. And you can click on the questions button, or you can come directly to us by going to questions, the email address, questions@askjohnanddave.com. And we can catch up with you that way. David does all the heavy lifting on those. That's probably the way you want it. Best information available there, probably in the most timely fashion. We're going to be seconds away from a break, so I'm not going to start a new topic for us. But grab your questions. Think about, you know, a home improvement project that might be something that is that's on your mind. Maybe you and your spouse talking about, should we do this? Should we not do this? And you've been kind of delaying a little bit because of all the news and all the things going on. Nothing's going to change. It's going to be as it is. And it's, in our opinion, it's probably a really good time to do a bunch of different things. So don't sweat it. Grab a cup of coffee. 704-570-1110. The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave returns right after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We've got lines open at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Pam has a question for us right out the block, so let's grab the questions from Pam. Pam, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Good morning. I would like to ask you a question about the difference in this luxury vinyl plank flooring and the 3/8 inch wood laminate type flooring.
Mm-hmm.
Home Depot has both products.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me that this luxury vinyl plank flooring, or not they, but a bunch of people, have told me that it's the hottest thing on the market, and it's very stable,
mm-hmm.
waterproof.
Mm-hmm.
It has a great warranty on it. But could you just talk to me about
sure.
that versus the wood laminate? My
yeah,
current home has the, you know, the very thick kind of oak flooring that had to be sanded.
Yeah, the 3/4 inch full.
Finished
yeah.
and everything. And this is all pre-finished, but I just would like to know over time how this is going to work.
Yeah, so a couple things. David, don't let me forget to talk to Pam about,
I'm sorry,
like,
I can't hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So we want to make sure, since you've got 3/4 inch flooring down there now, there are some ramifications of going to a thinner product, and we want to make sure you think through that. But as far as the LVT product itself, it is exceptionally good. There's a lot of different versions of it, Pam. There's a glue down version. There's a click lock version. We kind of like just the click lock floating version from a consumer perspective. If you're going to do it yourself, it is very easy to install. A couple things you want to check out. And so long term, that product over wood, as long as you don't absolutely want to have a wood, true wood look, which is what you have now, but it's very attractive. And you can get some finishes and solutions that look exactly like wood, or some look exactly like
wood. I'm having a real hard time hearing you.
David, do you want to try to talk to Pam? I don't. Maybe she hears you better.
Yes. Pam,
oh,
can you hear
much
me?
Better. Yes, that's much better.
Okay. So where John's going is the flooring, obviously the floating floor lays over top, would lay over top of your hardwood floor. my best advice to my customers and to even listeners, even folks that send questions, is I always would look for the thickest floor that you can purchase in the LVP floor or LVT. So one's tile and one's a plank. I think what happens is where the biggest problem that I see with these floors is where they click together. And so even though they tell you they'll bridge gaps and cracks in floors, which they will, where they have problems is if there's a dip in the floor. So the floor needs to be flat. Doesn't necessarily need to be level from one side to the other, but it needs to be flat. So no dips. Because if you bridge these floors over dips, eventually over time, what'll happen is you step there, the floor will separate, and the joints they'll pop loose, and usually it breaks the mechanism that holds the click lock. It'll break it, and it you can't get them back together. At that point, they have to put glue underneath the floor and try to fill it. So that's probably about the only downfall to, I think, the entire click lock floor as far as the LVP, LVT. I think the other part of your question was what was the difference in the laminate. I think the biggest difference is the LVP or the vinyl floors are going to be, they're going to be waterproof. So you could spill water, even pet accidents or whatever are not going to be a huge deal. Even though some of the laminate floors are boasting that they have waterproof edges. So that's where I think most people had trouble was the water or liquid would get in between the joints and then they would swell up because it's usually that product has something like a MDF, medium density fiberboard substrate. So
substrate, are you talking about what's underneath it?
Yes, what it's glued to where the vinyl is all the way through. So it's vinyl all the way. So moisture is not going to hurt it either coming from the bottom or the top. Obviously, you don't want to have moisture underneath it because I have heard some stories about moisture migrating from concrete slabs causing the joints to swell up. And you can kind of tell it, but that's a different story. It wouldn't be a problem for your situation.
Yeah. Now, let me just clarify one thing. I'm not putting this over the top of existing flooring. I was just sort of comparing it. This is going into another house. It's not a full-time house. It's like our second place up on the lake. So we're taking out old carpet and old vinyl, and we're trying to make the decision whether to come back with what to come back with. So that's where we're looking at the difference between these two products.
That eliminates the three-quarter concern that
I
have. And it's not on a slab. It's built on,
crawl space. Okay. Well, I think hands down, John and I would both go with the laminated vinyl plank or the laminated vinyl tile, especially up around the lake. I think the big thing is just to make sure the floor is flat, and they can do that with a straight edge. You just lay it on the floor, and whoever installs it should be looking for that. And then, as we said, Pam, pick the biggest or the thickest floor that you can get. I wouldn't get anything under 7 millimeter.
Yes, but talk to the wear layer piece also. Again, I don't know why she can't hear me.
No, I can hear you both now. I don't know what was happening.
Okay, so Pam. When you look at the product, there's going to be thickness. David's advice is rock solid. The other piece you want to understand is a wear layer, and that will determine the length of the warranty also. But in that application, you can get I think up to like a 20 mil wear layer, and that is I think the best in the residential. And I would encourage you to go. I think 8 mil is the lowest. I wouldn't go down that path. I would go as 20 mil, and that would be the wear layer, which is a little different than the thickness of the actual full plank.
Okay, so the wear layer is the actual vinyl that's on top of
exactly.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your help.
Great question.
It. And you're going to talk about just the whole deal of renovating too, because we're getting ready to do that. So I'm anxious to hear what you have to say about that.
All right, we'll stay tuned. We'll get to it.
Thank you,
Pam. Have a great day. All right. We're going to talk next to Worth. Good morning, Worth. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Excellent. Do you have a question?
I've got a quick question for you. I've got a decorative, actually three decorative steel dolphins in my front yard. I made them myself. They're made out of 18-gauge steel. They're 20 years old. At one time, I sprayed them with just a clear coating, Home Depot-type can spray. Mm-hmm. Now that coating has come off. I've re-sanded them, and I want to re-coat them. What's the best, I assume, industrial outside clear coating to put on these? And I assume it's something that I would brush on versus spray.
Not necessarily brush on. Is there any issue with rust? Is this stainless steel or...
No, it's not stainless steel. It's just 18-gauge steel.
18-gauge steel.
Okay. Yes, I'm sorry.
No, it's not rusted.
Okay. Then, David, I'm not sure. You know more of commercial coatings kinds of stuff than I do. I guess if it was mine, I would be putting... I don't know if there's a clear coat that stays resilient, you know, as it expands and contracts or not. Are you...
Waterborne polyurethanes are going to hold up and not yellow in the sun.
Right.
I mean, you could put a spar urethane over top of it, which, you know, would be oiled. But I think my only question is it, if you use water, is it going to rust as you apply it, as it dries, the clear coat? So, I'm just wondering if you couldn't spray it. How big are they, Worth?
Well, they're three different jumping dolphins. They're about 14 inches tall and about 3 feet long.
Okay, so you could spray it. They make an acrylic they make a spray that you can spray that's right in the spray paint section. If you wanted to spray them, but you could spray a coat of that on it, and then you could put a waterborne polyurethane. I think we got to get ready to take a break.
Yeah, hang tight for a second, Worth. We're going to take a quick break and be right back to you. Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Before we jump back to Worth to get him squared away on coating outdoor steel, we want to do our quick Home Depot product of the week. This week it's the Caseta, the Diva Smart Lighting Starter Kit. It's an awesome deal. It gets you started on what is a very simple but very effective way to control lighting in your home, both the brightness and, you know, on and off and so on in a smart device. What I like about this thing, number one, is it's made by Lutron. Best, you know, always state of the art, always very top quality and also innovative. The other thing that I like is it gets you started with everything you need. The smart hub, a switch, a remote. And then, of course, you just download the app and you can do it from anywhere. So pretty slick. It's under $100. It's the Caseta Diva Smart Lighting Starter Kit. Check it out. It's the Home Depot product of the week for this week. Now back to Worth. Worth, thanks for waiting through the break there. Sorry, we ran just a little bit long. We were talking about, David, I think you said a spar urethane, which would be a spray product. And I don't know what the finish needs to look like. You could do a spray version or you could brush it on.
Yes.
But
I've got... Varathane, I'm holding in my hand, Varathane Ultimate Bar Urethane Oil-Based Spray, mm-hmm. Clear.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be okay to use?
It will. I think the only problem is you just need to check and see if it's going to yellow, because spar urethanes tend to yellow over time. The industry says amber.
Right. What? Here's a question. Here's a question, Worth. If it actually does amber a bit, in other words, it kind of gets a yellow hue to it, in its current application, how important is maintaining the integrity of the color if it darkens just a touch?
I couldn't hear the end of a question.
David?
What he was asking is if it does yellow or darken a little bit, will that be a problem?
No, because it has a what I would call a multicolor finish on the metal itself.
Okay. Right, I thought so. So really, it probably wouldn't make a difference. I would say since you have that in hand, you could just try it and see. I mean, it'll stay on there for a good while, and the sun's going to degrade whatever you put on there anyway over time. So as long as it's not rusting, which I'm assuming is what you're trying to keep it from doing, is turning into a big,
right,
big pile of rust, I think you'd be fine. There are other products that are available. So they have, you know, they have the clear coat that you could buy in spray cans that they put on vehicle paint. Now, we know that doesn't yellow.
I'm also holding a can of Rust-Oleum Satin Clear Enamel.
There you go. So that would be another choice. So I think you could get away with either one of those. And you're going to get, you know, you're going to have protection for a good while. And if you don't want it to shine, then that satin is going to probably be a good way to go.
Right.
I mean, it'll have a little sheen to it, but it won't be real glossy.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, I'd love to see it. Send us a picture.
I will.
All right, sounds cool. Thanks, man.
All right, Worth goes on to get his outdoor decors coated, protected from the weather, from rust, and on we go. We have lines open at 704-570-1110. David, we talked in the first segment about discussing, is this the right time to renovate your home? And I think I'm not a finance wizard. I'm not an economics wizard, but I do kind of watch what's going on. I think I have a fundamental understanding of what's going on in our industry. And I think if there's reason to do a renovation in your home, this is as good a time as any. It's a different time than what it was pre-COVID. It's a different time than what it was, you know, prior to the inflation that we're feeling. But I don't anticipate, again, I'm not an economist. I don't anticipate the world changing radically in the near future. So if it needs to be done.
As far as building.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There's other shows to talk about what's likely to happen, you know, given other factors, but, and for this show,
and if somebody knows, could you give me the lottery number, the winning lottery number?
Yeah. Pick it for us, please. Or I'll send you my, stock portfolio, but, we have a caller coming in, but just let's hit a couple things real quick, 'cause we're going to go right to a break. I think there's three questions that you have to ask. So we're saying in general, it's okay to do this. Now, number one, does the work need to be done? If the answer to that is yes, okay, this is as good a time as any to do it. And arguably, depending on what needs to be done, you better do it. Number two, do you have plans or do you have an understanding of the scope of what needs to be done? And if the answer to that is yes, it's okay to proceed. If the answer is no, and you answer yes to number one or yes to the one coming up here in a second, then get some plans, but it's still okay to do it. And then the third thing is what David and I always talk about is it going to somehow make your home more comfortable or enjoyable or give you additional respite by making this investment? So if the answer to those three questions is yes or no, but I can get it done, then we would say you've passed the first hurdle. It makes sense to engage in a remodeling project. Now, we got to take a break. We're going to talk to David after the break, and then we'll talk about, well, what are some key questions that you want to address when you get ready to do this? And we're hoping maybe that spawns some thoughts and questions in y'all's mind as well. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Going to take a little break, and we'll be back to answer David's questions and all your questions right after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. That's the secret squirrel passcode to get us in or to get you in. Here comes David. David, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
I got cement board siding, and it's about 3.5 years old. The house is new. And it's starting to get like this white residue spots on it. And from what I understand, it's like when water evaporates, it's like salt or whatever comes to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to figure out what to do about it.
Well, I missed the type of siding that it was. David, I'm sorry.
Concrete siding.
Oh, it's fiber cement. Okay.
Yes.
And is it painted, primed, and so on?
I mean, it's painted. I mean, whether it's prime or not, I don't know. It's new construction, so I'm assuming it is.
That would not be a normal scenario.
No, it is not. It almost indicates to me that there's water behind it and pushing through. Is it on all sides, or is it a particular side of the house?
It seems to be prominent on the side that gets sunlight all day long.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's pretty intense on that side.
Okay, so it's possible. I mean, there's a couple scenarios. One, John, I think it could just be the sun. And I see, is it at the joints, or is it everywhere?
I say everywhere.
Okay, I see some houses, and it appears to be paint is fading at different rates, but you're saying is it powdery? Can you actually go up and rub it? And
I can't say it's really powdery. I'm just assuming that's what it is.
Okay.
It's definitely a lot lighter than what the paint is.
So
I guess if I rub my hands on it, I have to really kind of notice if there's any
residue
or anything on my fingers. But
if it was powder, there, I think David, your point is there's problem with moisture pushing through. But I would wonder about that. Even with paint on it, you would see something before you'd see the powder. I would think. Mm-hmm. I suspect that the product wasn't primed before it was painted.
Yep.
And so the fiber cement has absorbed the paint or is holding the paint differently at different points. Is that where you were headed, David?
I think that might be what it is. And it could just be, it could be inexpensive paint as well.
Yeah.
Not a good high quality paint. I do see it on other houses that are fiber cement and that are on the sunny side, either the south or the west side. I tend to see that on homes. And a lot of times it almost looks like they went back and you can almost see where they touched up is kind of what it looks like to me when I see this, David. You say it's what, 3 years old, the paint?
Yeah, 3.5 years old.
Yeah.
It's predominant throughout our whole neighborhood.
You're seeing it everywhere? Yeah. That's,
yeah, it's becoming, yeah.
That's what you have is
the whole neighborhood.
It's a low end. It's probably just a low end paint. So, a couple of things. One, you could obviously I could spend your money. You can wash the house and repaint. The other thing that you could do is if you could wash and you could put a coat of clear sealcrete on it and see if that will bring the luster back to the paint. It'll buy you a little bit of time. You kind of go through the same process of applying it. You have to clean, and then you have to apply it. But the difference is you're looking at $20 a gallon versus, $50 or $60 or whatever you're going to spend on paint. But I think I would just start getting some prices on painting and get ahead of the game.
Okay.
Just go ahead and get to where you want to be. And, you could obviously it just doesn't look very nice, but you're probably fine if you waited till spring.
Yeah.
That'll give you some time to get a couple of prices and compare and figure it out from there.
As far as priming, since I guess I could get somewhere you can't really see too much and kind of scrape the paint and kind of see if it's primed underneath or
I don't even know that I would worry about it.
Yeah, it's a non-event now. It is a past event that cannot be altered.
It is what it is.
Yes, sir.
Right.
So I guess at this point, I don't really need to worry about priming this paint or clean and paint over existing paint.
Yes, exactly. With a good quality paint. So just, you know, find out whoever's painting, see what they're using, and then look it up and see where, you know, see what people say about it. And you just need to be middle to the high end. I just always better. And I'm also a two coat person. I think if you do it while they're out there and they put two coats on it, I just think it's going to last. John talks about, he was talking earlier on flooring about wear layers. Well, paint will, that's kind of the same thing.
Exactly.
So if you can double up the paint, you're going to keep the color longer.
Sure.
You know, darker colors are going to tend to fade in the sun, but two coats is always better than one. Too. I'm sorry.
It is a darker color too.
Yeah. So it's, that makes it even worse. So it's drawing the sun to the house. So something to think about.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate your time.
Hey, you're welcome. Good luck with that.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks, David. It's just kind of confirms what we've said as far as the need to prime, and the need to use a quality paint, right? It's
absolutely. And today you can get the primer in the paint. So essentially you're just getting a thicker, heavier paint and I know there's some chemical differences, and I'm not smart enough to know
I'm not bright enough to tell you that, although I did speak with some folks at Behr who have agreed to come on the show and chat about everything from the technical side of it to design trends and stuff like that.
Well, so that's what we did. And the other thing we did was, and we used the LP Smart side. We did not use a concrete siding, but we went with the LP Smart side, which was pre-primed. I primed all the cuts, and everything was painted and primed on the cuts. Then it was installed properly. It was caulked between the joints with the proper caulk, and then we applied two coats of Behr semi gloss, and it wasn't the marquee, but it was the line, the step down from that.
Mm-hmm.
And we did two coats, and I'm telling you, the house, you know, we're coming up on 3-4 years, it still looks the day that we painted it. So. Very happy.
Awesome. All right. So I think, again, I won't beat that horse. It is what it is. Take the time. You get what you pay for. And I recognize that when it's a builder product, you have no control over that.
Right.
Pardon me. All right. Although, I don't know, maybe in the conversations when you're acquiring a home, you can ask that question. Let's see. So back to the conversation that we had, we said, hey, look, is this a good time? We're talking about whether or not this is a good time to do a major renovation in your home. And I know Pam was talking about the home, like a second home, a lake home. I think the principles apply there, apply the same way. You might say that, you know, need has a different threshold and comfort has a different threshold, but you got to plan, you got to have a sense for what needs to get done and so on. So again, we'll reiterate, you got to understand that it really needs to be done. It's probably not a time to do too many things whimsically, but do you have a plan? Does a need happen there? And is it somehow going to, if it's not all about the finances, but it's a major improvement in comfort or enjoyment of your home, we're saying all those things go on. The next thing I think you want to think about, and we'll dive a little deeper into it after the break, but understand that if you are going to sell your home, so part of the plan, so part of it is, what do you plan to do with your home? So not just plans for the project, but what do you plan to do with your home? If you're going to sell it in the near future, there's some things to consider, but understand the fundamental principle is the gap between a renovated home, the price for a renovated home, and the price for a home that is not renovated and needs renovation is getting greater and greater. So if you do the work, the likelihood of commanding a higher price is greater than it has been in a while. And keep in mind that there's iBuyers and folks out there who are willing to make your life easier and you pay the price in a lower price point, but super, super easy. Or you make the investment yourself. We'll dial in a little bit more on those details, but that's an important piece to understand. So is it a good time to invest? Yes, it's better, and that the price points between renovated and unrenovated are getting broader. So that's good news. If you've got questions, folks, call 704-570-1110. We'll talk about all these different things, and we'll talk about what's important to you. You can also go to askjohnanddave.com, click on the questions button, and send us a note that way. No matter what you decide to do, we want to hear from you next hour, so don't go away. 704-570-1110, and we'll talk when we return from these important messages.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back, everybody. It's hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. Thanks for staying with us. Thanks for joining us. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We've spoken about a lot of different things this morning already by way of great questions from you, our listeners. And we're also kind of on a larger theme of, is this a good time to renovate your home? There's just so much chatter about everything. I mean, the cost of gasoline, I did a high five to myself yesterday when I got gas at one of at the clubs, you know, where we belong, and I paid $2.95 for it. And I was like, why am I happy about that? But I was. And so take every opportunity to be happy you get. It is what it is. There's just so much going on. I got my natural gas, you know, forecast for into 2023. And, you know, that was another ugly scenario. Okay. It is what it is. You can remember these things, I guess, when you think about, you know, taxes and the polling place and all those different things. That's not for me to opine about. But what we want to say is like, okay, listen to everything. Don't be uninformed. Pay attention. But if your question is this a good time to renovate my home or not? We're not as economists, but as Ask John and Dave, guys who do home improvement and kind of watch what's going on, we're saying, yeah, the world is not going to cave in tomorrow, at least not in the home improvement arena. And we don't anticipate, you know, I'm not telling you whether it's going to get worse or get any better. The cost of lumber, I think we had a call last week or the week before, right? And we looked at the, you know, the index for cost of dimensional lumber, and things have settled out radically from where they were in the insanity that was COVID. So we said, hey, look, does your home need to be renovated? If the answer is yes, you should do it. What are your plans? Are you going to live there for another 10, 15, 20 years, or are you going to sell it in the near future? And then if there's not a specific hardcore need, or you're not going to sell it, you're going to hang on to it, is there a comfort factor or an enjoyment factor that makes it, you know, a better place to live, more enjoyable to live? That's a very worthwhile investment in our opinion. And then we dove into the question that said, hey, all right, the point that I think I made right before the break, David, was if you look at the data in the industry, and I won't quote it because I don't have everything in front of me, but there is a fundamental principle that says, if you renovate your home, or homes that are renovated, selling price versus homes that are not renovated, selling price, the gap is getting greater, right? You might say, well, I'm willing to take a little lesser price because I don't want to go through the headaches. And there are what I call iBuyers, but just there's great options out there for someone who will come in and say, okay, here's the lower price that your home commands unrenovated, and they do the renovations, and then they turn around and sell it and take the profit that you might have taken had you gone through the headaches. I think there's, and this is my opinion only, so it's worth everything you paid for it. I think because there is such, there's so many investors in the marketplace who are buying single family homes, renovating them and holding them for rent revenue as revenue producing assets. because they're, and they are doing the renovations and buying homes from any of a number of manners. I won't get into that those details, but because there is this kind of abundance of people who are going in and making renovations, it's pushing down the price. It feels like it's pushing down the price of a non-renovated home, and I suspect that's part of what's driving the broadening gap between a renovated home and a home that is not renovated. Please, I have to qualify. This is all John's opinion, and it's my opinion based on just kind of watching some stuff go on. So if you're going to make some kind of investment in the marketplace, find a legit person to talk to. Don't call. Ask John and Dave at 704-570-1110 with that question. We're not qualified to answer it. But I think it's an important fact to consider if you're trying to decide, is this a time to renovate my home? Then the next big question, David, is do you want to be the GC, or do you want to hire somebody who can GC the product for you? Now, I'll answer that question so it doesn't sound like a self-serving answer for you, David, and then you can tell the real truth, the real deal details behind that. But David, you're a general contractor. I would say, being pretty well versed in the industry, being pretty good with understanding the trades, understanding what goes into construction, being a very organized person. People make fun of me. I am not OCD. I am CDO, because that's alphabetical order as it should be. I would not GC my own project. Just wouldn't. Too many things to consider, regulations, building details. I don't know. David, we've got a little bit of time before the break. What say you, sir? Or wait till after the break. I don't want to cut you short.
It is what it is. You know, you have to, it depends on your skills. How much time do you have? You know, are you willing to suffer the learning curve? You know, I think all that has to be taken into play. If you don't have anything else to do, if you're retired or you're independently wealthy, I mean, you know, it's probably not a bad thing, but usually about the most you're going to save is probably 20%. And I know people say 20%. But that's normally somewhere in that area is where the general contractor is going to be for managing, for getting everyone out. I think you have to look at that and see if it's worth it.
So let's just say it's a $100,000 project, and we got to take a break. $100,000 project, which is big, and you make 20%, you save 20%, that's $20,000. Mm-hmm. To help put some perspective on that, $20,000, this is some tough math, is for $5,000 mistakes. And we can talk about how easy it is to make a $5,000 mistake when we come back from the break. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Taking a break and be back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. That's our number. Give us a call. I want to talk about what's important to you. We're going to do our Home Depot product of the week. And it's a great product this week. It's from Lutron, and it's the Caseta Wireless, the smart dimmer starter kit, the Diva smart dimmer starter kit. Diva. Do I have to turn in my man card if I get that? I don't know. Anyway, great product. One of the reasons I like it is it's a Lutron product. I've messed with the innovative things that come out from Lutron really for a long, long time as I did renovations in my home. I love them. They're super simple. What's more important is Barbara loves them, and that's a good thing. This particular thing is a starter kit, so it gets you started. That means inside this kit for less, well, it's about $100. There's a the smart bridge, which is the Wi-Fi connection. There's a remote, there's a switch, and you can add switches, and you can add them in kits and in different combinations as you go on. But it's a great way to get started I don't know if you're like me, but you'll try this product or this product, and then it's like, no, we just got to get everything in a spot. This is the way to do it. It's again, $100. It's the Caseta wireless smart lighting dimmer switch starter kit. And we say go for it. It's the Home Depot product of the week this week. All right, David, we've been, and folks, we're at 704-570-1110. And we're happy to take your calls. We're talking about, is this the right time to renovate your home? And we think that the answer is yes, as long as you're just not saying, well, I'm bored to tears, I'm going to renovate my home. If you're bored to tears, you know, find something else to do. But you might want to invest in something besides a home renovation. But if it makes sense to do it, then the next big hurdle was, do you want to GC this yourself or not? You know, I said, no, you didn't want to do it. David, you said you could save at best 20%. That is a lot. If you're doing a $5,000 renovation, here's my sixth grade math kicking in. It's a smaller number than if you're doing a $100,000 renovation. And so we said, let's just think about $100,000 and 20% of that is $20,000. So that's my starting point. Then I made a mistake on the window order. How much could that possibly be? 2,000? 4,000? 5,000?
I just did that as a general contractor.
I forgot.
It was only two windows, but
I wasn't trying to rub that in. I forgot about that.
I thought maybe you were.
No, so. No, I wasn't. I'd have been much sharper if I was trying to poke at you. There's just a lot of things to consider. And then maybe you get the timing wrong on the order of the project. And one thing gets done and then has to get redone because the trade coming in said, well, you really weren't supposed to do that till I did this. That's another couple $1,000s. Then the building inspector comes by and says, well, you know, you didn't upgrade the panel when you made this. That's another $3,000, right? So it's pretty easy to spend $20,000 in what I affectionately term tuition. David, you called it paying for the learning curve. Any right. way you slice it, you're writing checks, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not discouraging people from do-it-yourself stuff. I have no vested interest in directing you one way versus the other than to say I think that this probably makes sense for the average bear. So there's that. Then there's some other questions that folks sometimes forget to consider. And the first one actually gets forgotten. And it's hard to believe, but maybe not hard to believe. The first question is, based on the scope of work to be done, do you have somewhere to live during the renovation process? And I think the reason it gets overlooked, David, and you should, you know, offer an opinion on this. I think the reason it gets overlooked is sometimes we say, well, we're just going to go ahead and hang out in the house, you know, no matter what's going on. And then mayhem ensues, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, and it's usually one spouse or the other that says, this just is not going to cut it. No, I am not going to wash the dishes in the bathtub. Or no, I am not going to whatever, cook every meal on my Coleman stove, Coleman camping stove. Whatever that, no, I'm not going to, what is. What do you say, sir?
Well, I've had it both ways. I mean, I've had people that stay when the kitchen or the bathrooms tore out. You know, if you have another bathroom, it's not a big deal. But, you know, there's all kinds of things to contend with. So if it's a big renovation, you know, sometimes it is better to go on vacation or move into the camper or the neighbor's house or wherever, wherever you could go. And I mean, it obviously it adds expense to the job, but if it requires that, then that's what you have to do. And it's tough. It's tough when people want to live in the house while you're trying to do that work for everybody.
Well said. And then a thing to consider is that it goes back to the planning question and being well versed enough to know kind of what does this construction process look like, because mm-hmm. you may not choose to be in an alternative living space from the beginning of the project to the end of the project, but you probably definitely want to be out for two nights when they put the polyurethane on the hardwood floor. Mm-hmm. You want to be out for, you know, this period of time when all of the, you know, plumbing is shut down, you know. Here's a question I never thought I'd ask you. Have you ever put a porta-john on somebody's property for them to use?
Well, yeah, when we had a where a sewer line had to be replaced and there was no choice because there was nothing that could go. But
so
uh huh.
Okay. All right. That was just an ADD random ADD.
I know.
You know, I've got all kinds of initials after my name: ADD or OCD. OMG. All right.
We're not even going to go there with those initial things.
Somebody told me that I was an OG. I did not know what that meant. I thought it meant like old guy. They were making fun of me. I asked my kids, what does it mean if somebody called me OG? Do you know what that means?
No.
I didn't either. Original gangsta. Don't ask me how I got that moniker.
Uh-huh.
I don't. But anyway, 704-570-1110. That's the number. We've got some lines open, and we've got some time before we take our break. So living quarters is one thing. The next question that you have to ask is, do you have access to the trades?
Mm-hmm.
And that's if you're going to be the GC yourself. Still a legitimate question. If you are having a GC do it, you want to understand, what does your, you know, trades network look like, and what kind of lead times are they experiencing? In other words, when you call the, you know, the drywall guy, or when you call the electrician, or you call the plumber, you know, what's the lead time? And I think folks are pretty well settled in now that the, you know, expanded lead times are what they are, and they can plan around them. But you do need to make sure that that's part of the solution. Then the other question is, do you kind of have a vision for what the end product is going to look like? And you need to have that. If you kind of have some ideas and some features, it's another reason to get a good design build general contractor to be your partner, because they are traditionally connected to some awesome designers. And you can say, here's kind of what I'm looking for. And they translate that very quickly into a layout and into product selection and so on. So I think that that's another important piece of it. And then the last is really, it's more correct if, or more appropriate if you're going to do the GC work yourself, but legitimate no matter what. And that is, do you have the time? Is it going to fit into your personal agenda? When things get disrupted, is it going to cause other important events in your life to use a technical term, garbled up? So those are some questions that we think we need to ask and take care of. We're coming right up against the break, so we're going to go ahead and do that. David, I know you're going to cover for me for the last segment as I move on to a meeting with some of our church folks. But that's it. Lots of good stuff. Lots of great questions, I think, that could come from those conversations. So don't be bashful. Call us at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, or go to AskJohnAndDave.com, click on the questions button, and send us a note that way. Right now, taking a break, the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We'll be back after these important messages.
Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm Dave Doval. John's off. He'll be back next week. He had a little personal thing to do. I had something with the church. So anyway, lines open, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. I believe that's what Robert has done. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Dave. This is Robert. I've got a problem, I think, with my water heater. I'm not exactly sure, but I start when you get up in the morning or sometime later in the day, you put it over to the cold side, and you get warm water.
Okay. So tell me a couple things. Is it at all the faucets, or just one particular faucet?
It's the kitchen faucet is the worst. Now you go all the way back to the master bath in the back of the house, and it's the same way, but it's not as pronounced.
Okay. Do you have your water heater turned up pretty hot, or is it at a normal 120 degree temperature setting?
Oh no, it's up fairly high.
Okay. So the next question I'll ask is, do you know if you have an expansion tank on that water heater? So it's a little tank that sets on either the hot or the cold water side, and it sits usually above the water heater.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand you there.
Okay, what I'm asking you is if you have an expansion tank on the water heater.
Yes, they did some work on it in 2020, and they put an expansion tank on it then.
Okay. So it sounds like it's breaking free. So what that does is as water heats, it expands, and what it's doing is it's pushing itself into the cold water side. I think the first thing you might want to do is maybe turn the water heater down a little bit. That's gonna take care of part of that. I'm not sure if the expansion tank has gone bad already. You say it was 2020. That would be pretty quick. I wouldn't think that would be the case, but, usually that's
the water heater was put in 2012.
Oh, 2012. Okay.
Water
I thought
heater,
you said,
yes.
Okay.
I had a leak in 2020 and they sent a crew out here replace
the leak.
The pipes on top of it, and I noticed it after that. That was
okay.
In 2020.
Okay. So, so the expansion tank is not working properly. So you need to get them back out there and have them take a look at that, because that should be accepting the water as it expands. So what it's doing is it's pushing it into the cold water side, and you're getting it probably also when you turn the faucet on. Does it blast out for a split second when you turn it on?
I think so. When
yeah,
you get the
that's
hot water on the cold water side. You can push the control over to the left side, and you get cold water, and it takes a fair amount of water to change it.
Well, yeah, because the water in the pipes has cooled off on the hot water side, but what it's doing is it's pushing that hot water through the cold water side, and that's why you're getting it. And of course, it's probably hotter the closer you are to the water heater on the cold side as well. But it sounds like the expansion tank is not working as it should. So they have expansion valves as well, if that's what's on there, that could be going bad. But I had that happen at my last house, and that's what it was. We had an expansion valve, and I ended up changing that out to a expansion tank, and it solved the problem, because we keep our water pretty hot too, about 140, 145 degrees. So I'd get those folks back out there if you were happy with them. If you're not, we'd be glad to recommend a plumber for you if you need one.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Robert. We appreciate it. Appreciate the call. Okay, Robert. Robert's gone. I don't have a call screen, folks. So Chris is leading me, and he's good. So lines are open, 704-570-1110. We'd be glad to hear from you. Before the break, and of course, we're taking calls about anything you want to talk about as far as home improvement, we'd be glad to take those. We were talking before the news or the break about doing a renovation on your home, and you know, especially if it's a large one, you know, do you use a contractor, a general contractor, or is this something that you would attempt to do yourself? And in most cases, you probably, you know, as John was alluding to, you should probably lean towards a general contractor. Now, if you've been in the business before and you've done this and you're familiar and you have all the trades that are going to need to be brought in for the work, and you feel comfortable, then you know, by all means, there could be a little savings, but it also could be a real boondoggle for you. So you have to pay attention to that. I went on an estimate this week, and the folks want to take in a formal living room and move downstairs the master bedroom into this area and put a master bath that's accessible. And then, of course, the master master bedroom would be on that same level. So their situation will work. And ideally, they need someone to lead them as to the trades. So there's all kinds of questions when you start to do things like that. You know, you have to worry, are you going to have enough? Can you control the AC from that room? So this might be a situation where the HVAC contractor would recommend a zoning system so that they'll be able to have a thermostat in that room and not just have a master thermostat to try to control the temperature, because the rest of the house may be comfortable. That room may get hot. You don't know. Is there a return in that room? You know, how about the electric panel? Is there going to be enough room in the panel to add the circuits that are going to need to be added? All of those things have to be addressed, and you need someone in there to go through it and help you figure all that out. And I know we're going to come up on a break and we're going to take it, but when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that and how you could kind of do a project yourself, but maybe you would have some help from someone that could guide you through it. And that's certainly a possibility as well. Okay, so I think with that said, let's get ready to take our break. Lines are open, 704-570-1110. Give us a call, and in the meanwhile, we'll be right back after these messages. All right, welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval. Lines open, 704-570-1110. Let's get Dan in here. Hey, Dan, how can we help?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Appreciate all you do.
Oh, no worries. We're glad we could do it. How can we help?
Okay, here's my scenario. House built 1945, 1,200 square foot ranch down in Union County. It was built probably with the hard shingle siding.
Asbestos. Mm-hmm.
And it has vinyl on top of it now, and that vinyl's probably at least 30 years old.
Okay.
If I do new siding, take the vinyl off, can I put LP or new vinyl on top of that old siding?
Well, you can, but what's going to happen, Dan, when you take that vinyl off, you're going to have several pieces of the old asbestos siding, or the old shingles are going to be broke, and they're going to be in pieces, because as they installed the previous vinyl siding over it, when they drove the nails through it, they broke that siding. So there's going to be a mess around that house. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world, that product, but when it is, when it's cracked and broke, if you drill it, grind it, or just in general, the dust that's generated from that is where you can have a problem with that asbestos. So when the vinyl comes off, you're going to certainly want to be covered up, and then you're going to have to check with Union County to see what they want you to do with the scraps, because it has to be handled in a little bit different way. It's not going to be the end of the world, but if you handle that yourself, as far as the demo of it, you're going to have a problem. And I think once you get the siding off, it would be the time to probably evaluate whether you want to go ahead and put siding back over top of it, or go ahead and strip it down. So probably, I think maybe the smart thing to do is before you ever take the vinyl off, is go ahead and communicate with Union County, find out what they want you to do, what's required to handle just the pieces that are broke off if you decide to recover, or what your situation would be if you were to take it all off, and then, you know, where do you take it? How do you have to handle it? And just see what they want you to do, I think would be the smart thing to do. Okay. I'm always a big proponent when a house is getting new siding, to strip it down to the substrate so that you can see what's underneath there. In other words, I guess it depends on what the future holds for that house. You know, if you think it's going to be a tear down in some future, then it may not be as important. But if it's something that's going to, you're going to be looking for longevity out of, which it already has some, you may want to think about stripping it down to the wood, inspect it, make sure there's no water damage, make sure the windows, the doors are flashed properly. And then put a house wrap on over the wood, because chances are that's probably got the 1x6s that are run diagonal. It's a strong house, and underneath that asbestos, you'll probably find tar paper, and that's a good vapor barrier, but it's probably seen its usefulness, and has deteriorated. So probably get it down to the wood and then inspect, seal everything up tight, get some house wrap on it, and then get your vinyl back over it. If the walls aren't insulated in the house, it's a good time to buy some fan fold insulation. It doesn't give you a huge amount of insulation, but it does give you some. And then, of course, while it's opened up, if you know there's no insulation in the walls, you could drill through the wood sheathing and blow insulation into those walls. So you could kind of take care of that, and then you don't have damage on the inside of the house. Once that's done, you can follow all the steps, cover it up, and you'll have a pretty tight house. It'll be more energy efficient than what it was, for sure. And then you can rest easy, because mm-hmm. the things that are not good are gone.
Okay.
That makes sense.
If I get that all the way down to bare wood, if I go to an LP, can you put a layer of foam, say a 1 or 2 inch layer of foam insulation on the outside, and then put the LP on top of that?
You probably can't, because you're going to have a couple of things. One, the projection of the windows. So you're going to have to pack out the windows to get some type of trim. And then, of course, you want to make sure that it's not a shelf for water to sit on the top. Normally, when you get in that situation, what they're doing is they're building what's called a rain screen, and the foam is on the walls, but then they have a furring strip that comes out that's actually the nailer for the siding to be nailed to. So my suggestion is you look up rain screen for a house, or re-siding a house using a rain screen, and decide what is the better way to go. I think if you expose that structure and you get it down to the sheathing, your better bet is to go in and just drill the holes and put the insulation in. You can do it yourself, or you can have somebody come in, but you could just blow fiberglass insulation right in those walls, or all you're doing is just drilling the holes. You'll be able to see the stud pattern, so you'll know what you're doing. And you may have to drill a hole high and a hole low with a hole saw, but that way, if there's a fire block, which that house, usually they have there's a 2x4 perpendicular to the studs all the way around the perimeter on the exterior of the house. So you'll insulate there above and then below. And that's actually probably going to be the better scenario, I would think, versus foam or building a rain screen. It gets pretty in depth with that. But take a look at it and see, because you may want to do that.
All right, I'll look that up.
All right. Well, good. If you have any other questions, if you have any other questions, just send us a note to askjohnanddave.com. Hit the questions button. Okay. And I'm sorry, who's next? Mary. Mary's next. Hey, Mary.
Hey,
how can we help?
How are you? Good. Look, I have a problem with my gutters not draining properly. and mm-hmm. I've had them on for a couple of years. I had my fascia bolt replaced and then put them on. I think I made a mistake of putting gutter gauze on there before, and they put them back on. I just need someone to help me with that so I won't have any future damage from what I'm seeing. I was able to catch a drum of oil, a water within an hour that drained it, just poured like an open spigot.
Over the top of the gutters?
Yeah. I think
is that where it's coming from?
Yes, I believe it is, because it's not, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's just like at the end of the gutter there, somewhere it is just pouring out.
Right. Okay. Hey, Mary. I'm gonna let Chris put you on hold, and I'm gonna get him to get your phone number, and I'm gonna call you back because the show's about to end, and I've got to go. So let's do that. And with that said, we appreciate everyone listening. It was the Home Improvement Show with John and Dave, and we appreciate it. We'll see you next week